Blog Talk Radio.
All right, where's that dumbass music? Yep, there we go. All right.
Boy, glad to see that one, Rick.
Yeah, that was a good evening. Last show. Thank you, creepy intro music guy and laugh dude and British lady and all the other people involved in costing us 2 minutes worth of airtime at the beginning of every show. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Today's star date, 4/19/23. And thank God that on 4/19, something silly hasn't happened yet today, because as you all know, 4/19 is the day where all hell breaks loose, where, what was it, Hitler's birthday, Columbine, Oklahoma City, Waco, all that stuff, 4/19. So, looks like everything's been relatively subdued today, globally, so we hope that continues. We hope everybody is doing well out there tonight. I'm going to kick it around to my most esteemed panel while I light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars this evening. First off, hailing from the invading state of Indiana, the outlying recesses of the capital, Indianapolis, where the alpaca roam and do sketchy things in the dark. Tim, what's happening, Daddy?
And the goats do sketchy things in the daylight, but I think I finally have the hole patched. We're getting out to the road. So we're all good on the wild frontier that is known as the pasture here on Anthony Road.
Nice.
We have a little bit of an issue with the pool. It's probably the worst shape I've ever seen it in, so I did go ahead and open it to get some chemicals pumped in it. I don't know if I had addressed that last week or not. Probably not. It's kind of a depressing issue. Other than that, I'm doing wonderful, and it's great outside. I'm stuck inside, kind of staring at the computer right now, but I'm looking forward to a good show nonetheless. I'll hand it over to you.
Outstanding. Man, it's good to have you aboard this evening, as always. Good to hear that the goats and alpacas are roaming as usual. So, little voice from the past, coming back for a visit tonight. By God, it's always good to hear this gentleman's voice. So hailing from the same invading state, temporarily, hopefully, sooner or later, he'll come back to the coast and hang out for a little bit. My good brother Todd, what is going on, man?
Oh, man, it's a cluster at best, but, hey, could be worse. Happy hump day, people. Yeah, it's been a minute, right?
Absolutely. But
that's right. I used to have an introduction. Been so long, I forgot where a little catchphrase. I'm doing outstanding the supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Is that what it was?
That's what I'm talking about right there, man.
Yes.
It's been very taxing on Tim to cover for you. I'll tell you how bad it is. I actually called Tim Todd twice last week. That's
true story.
Well, wait, Tim, were you actually showing talent on the air last week?
Oh, no. I wouldn't go that far.
Damn. That was getting in our licks early, aren't we?
That's what she said.
All right.
Yeah, but he's been aboard. I'm tired for tonight's show. I'm telling you what. He hasn't lost his elasticity at all with the layoff, man. He's still good and stretchy, so well done. Way to open it up. Outstanding.
Making up for
Yes, absolutely. Making up for some lost time. Come back and just start ribbing right off the bat. But, man, it is good to hear your voice. It's good to have you back. And, yeah, I mean, hot damn. That was a nice surprise this evening to see your numbers pop up on the board. So, good to have you here. And then we'll shove on into tonight's topic. So, of course, before the show, I'm sitting here and I'm going, hot damn, man, I need to find a topic. Need to find a topic about tonight's show, you know. So before I introduce tonight's topic, I want to kind of lay a little background thing, what makes this not funny but funny. My brother, and I've spoken about my brother here on the show plenty of times. He's a fantastic guy. Can't say enough good about him. Love him to death. He of course lives in Orlando, and he lived in Greensboro or High Point, and lived in Greensboro and worked in Greensboro, lived in High Point, since college. And as his children grew up, he would start saying he was a big Disney freak, and he was always saying, "Hey, you know, once we get the kids graduated, we're going to sell this house, move to Orlando, so I can be by Disney." And
Hold on. When you say Disney freak, what years were this he was talking about that? Just so people understand what you mean when you say Disney freak.
Yeah, like Disney fan. How's that? How's that better for the...
But I mean, if you know, it's one thing to say it here, let's say sometime after 2015 or even earlier, but if you were saying it in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, actually, it was mid-90s. He kind of picked up the habit in a filmography class that he took in college, and he got interested in the whole Disney, the Snow White production and, you know, the history of Walt Disney and the filmmaking. And it kind of led into a genuine interest and love for the material and everything. He's more into the classic stuff, you know, your Snow White, Pinocchio. You know, I don't know how many times we've discussed. If you ever sit down and watch Pinocchio, I don't know if any of you guys have watched Pinocchio of recent. He's a little prick. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love watching that movie. Now I watch it, and I'm like, Pinocchio needs his ass beat, dude. What a little shit. But
pretty much.
That's a different story. But nevertheless, yeah, that was my brother's gig. So kids get graduated. He moves to Orlando. He lives 10 minutes from the ballpark. My sister-in-law, Crystal, works there at Disney. And he would come on the show on Wednesday nights, but Wednesday night is their date night, and every Wednesday night they go hang out at Disney Springs. That's why he's never been on the show, because tried to get him on here plenty of times, but he's too busy hanging out at Disney to hang out with us. Damn it. But never, as that is, so anyhow, why does that story matter? Okay, so Disney, when Walt Disney was looking for a place to build a theme park back in the 50s, he was looking for land, lots of land, that was cheap. And he found a large patch of unwanted swamp in Florida where he can get the land cheap and develop it for the theme park that he wanted to build. He went to the Florida State Legislature, and you got to remember this is 50s, and said, this is what I want to do. But in return, do you think y'all can give me some type of tax leniency and let me kind of be my own governing body, so to speak, almost like the Vatican does in Italy, where the Vatican is in Italy, but the Vatican has its own police force and tax code and every damn thing else.
It's actually its own country.
Oh, really? Is that it's considered a country?
Sure enough.
Oh, wow. All right. Did not know that. I'll be damned. Had the Vatican Army, the Vatican Air Force. Where do they land their planes in the Vatican? That would be a different topic. But anyhow, Disney was granted these tax breaks, and it was called Reedy Creek because, if I'm not mistaken, that is the patch of land that Disney was built on, a place called Reedy Creek, okay? So fast forward to take from the 50s all the way to 2020 when DeSantis, the governor of Florida, was trying to pass a bill that disallowed schools to teach sexual education to children under 10, I believe is what it was, because there were schools teaching sex education to kindergartners, which, you know, again, totally different topic, totally different show. Let's teach them about colors and how to stack blocks and how to spell their name. Let's not talk about hard-ons right yet. You know what I mean? Let's save that for a little bit later on when they can actually get a hard-on, you know? So DeSantis puts this bill out here. The press takes it and calls it the Don't Say Gay bill, which it had absolutely nothing to do with that. But, of course, the press tries to, you know, throw their propaganda out with it and whatnot. So instead of concentrating on making movies with a mouse or having Goofy do his classic, Disney decided to speak up and basically said Governor Ron DeSantis is full of shit and should look out for all peoples of creeds and this, that, and the other, which the bill had nothing against any sexual orientation. It was just basically a blanket bill saying that they weren't going to teach any sexual education, be it heterosexual, homosexual, beast-related, furries, you name it, to children below the age of 10. So when Disney spoke up and kind of gave DeSantis the figure, DeSantis said, oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what, you assholes have been living for 70 years without cranking any taxes out, without having to live by the rules like Walmart, Target, and, you know, Amazon and the airports and everybody else has to. So you know what? Up yours, Disney. We're pulling your Reedy Creek, whatever the hell they call it, concessions or whatever. So for the last 2 years, they've been pissing on one another's leg over the whole Reedy Creek thing. So anyhow, right before the show, I'm looking for something to talk about tonight. And there is a senator from another state who introduced today, I want to say it was bill number 594, called the Mickey Restoration Act. And take a long drag off my cigar for this one because you'll see how this all connects. It is inviting Disney to another state and is offering the same Reedy Creekish, if you will, benefits to Disney. All right? And that state is none other than North
Carolina.
Drum roll,
please.
Yes. North Carolina and the senator, or whatever the hell his legislative title is, he's from Greensboro. Would Wouldn't that be a bitch? After all those years, my brother busts in his ass, sells his house, moves to Orlando, and then they turn around and move the ship right back to where he was in the first place. So it's not funny. I don't mean bad on my brother, but, I mean, it's just the good old at-will luck right there when it comes down to brass tacks, how things go. Now, granted, if they did that, it would take years to do it. We're all getting long in the tooth. So, you know, yeah, I don't really see it impacting us that much in our lifetime, regardless, though. So what I want to do is throw it out to you guys for the discussion tonight, and then we'll just take it from there. I want to kind of look at more of the geographical and the economical advantages to making a move like that. Because right now, Texas, Arizona, and North Carolina, I think, are the three states that have had the largest population increase over the last 5 years. And they're all coming out of California, Illinois, New York, and Pennsylvania. And so basically, if you wanted to move, and I always get Disney World and Disneyland mixed up, so bear with me, but the California one, of course, wouldn't move all the way across the other side of the coast. They would move to Arizona if they wanted to make a move like that. But if you look at the map, North Carolina is kind of sitting right there in the middle. And if they were to drop that thing east of Raleigh, and the reason why I say east of Raleigh, west of Raleigh has, you know, Cary, Durham, all that area right there has really developed over the last 15, 20 years and has actually gotten to be kind of a, I don't want to use the term ritzy, because Durham will never be ritzy, but they've...
Durham thinks so.
Yeah, Durham might think so, yeah. Durham's all right. I mean, it's coming along, but it's still... You know, Elvis sang a song about that place. Damn, my lighter is out of spooge. But if you look at the map, think about the damn logistics of it. And they could get land for cheap. You know, Van Todd, you know the geography just as much as I do in North Carolina. That strip of land right off of 40 between Raleigh and Rocky Mount, right there where Garner and Wilson and Mevin and all those places are at. Well, I'll put it to you this way. You know how 95 cuts through 40 right there in Wilson? So imagine having 95 that runs from Maine all the way to Florida, and you put Disney right there on that corner of 40 that runs from coast to coast, because 40 runs from the sand on the east to the sand on the west. And you put that Disney entity, whatever it might be, right there at the halfway point between the two, between, say, Maine and Florida. I mean, you got to think, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, geography-wise, the that makes it more centrally north-south, all that located, and, you know, when people make a long drive to get there, hells, Tim just did a Indiana to Florida drive, and that was how many hours for you?
I think the way back was better, but it was still, Lord, I want to say... I'm drawing a blank. I think it was roughly 16 hours, but I might have done it faster than that.
So I'd say that's a legit 16. He would be able to cut a chunk of time off of that to get to Disney.
Right.
Just to pick a, you know, kind of, your recent trip and all that, Yeah, because that's, what, over 45, couple hours from where we are. That's a difference in drive for us, too. And for us, it ain't all that far away. We've talked about before how centrally located it is to get from North Carolina to places north, south, and all that around us. The reverse of that would be true. You know, drive to D.C. is only X amount of hours. A drive to wherever is only X amount of hours. Again, we're
right.
Both frickin' ways. Now, Tim, just out of curiosity, I don't know if you saw this, but this Michael Garrett, he's a senator that filled it out. They have him labeled as a, Tim will get this, as a triad senator. It has to do with his geolocation in the cities, but I just thought that there's a weird little small world triad relates to team, and it's not the Chinese triad that we're referring, or the Asian triad there that we're referring to.
Tell you what's funny, I guess that, I don't know if I ever hear him say the word the triad, but which, yeah, it's funny by the way. But if when I went to school down in Vincennes, that's in what they call a tri-state area, and I feel like that's common among the geographical areas where, you know, a few states come together and you've got like major cities right there where they do.
That's because three is
like
a prime number.
Yeah,
common
so,
throughout
anyway.
Our culture. Sorry, ran over you. It's just like a meeting at work, ain't it?
No, it's all good. No, I was done. Just pointing out there about the tri-county, like we'll say like tri-state or tri-county area. Tri-county area is a popular term, too.
But if you're a trisexual, that means you'll try anything. Dogs, cats,
pretty
chickens,
much.
Gerbils, yeah.
Yeah.
Or I've heard,
thank you. Thank
I've
you.
Heard, I've heard in some cases it's alpaca.
You know, not those sketchy things. I tell you what. Come to find out, Tim's been pimping alpacas. When we don't know it, he dresses up in like this purple suit with the big hat, walks around, going, "Where's my bitches?"
You know, I probably
and when they get furry, he just goes ahead and shaves in like little spots, place hands here.
I don't think he's happened yet, but the treehouse I just built right over the pasture looks out over everything, so it's like I can keep an eye on my bitches out there.
Oh, nice.
We'll have to give you a new name like Pookie or something like that, so that way it kind of fits in just right. So,
go back to Starsky and Hutch, whatever the pimp's name was.
Ah, dude, yeah. Teddy Bear. No, not Teddy Bear. Teddy Bear, no.
Foxy Bear. Huggy Bear. Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear. Huggy Bear. That was it. There's so many goddamn bears out there. Foxy Bear, Smokey Bear, Teddy Bear. Huggy Bear, the Cupboards of Bear, good shit. So, you know, if you look at it geographically, you know, let's talk about 95, even if you kicked it west of Raleigh and wanted to get closer to what they call there the triad, which is Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Raleigh, and when you drive there, it's an hour's drive. It's an interesting drive between Raleigh and Greensboro because it's so freaking congested. On a map, it's not really that far, but it still takes you an hour drive because there's so damn much traffic. Nevertheless, 85, I-85, and as we all know, the interstate system, how the north to south runs one numbers and the east to west runs another set. 85 runs north to south through Greensboro and through Charlotte. Okay? So why is that impactful? Well, for one thing, Charlotte next to, and I may be wrong here, Atlanta is the busiest airport in the United States, if I'm not mistaken. Charlotte,
like a lot. It's a big connecting place for a lot of the regional flights.
Yes, and Charlotte is, I want to say, fourth or
Charlotte
fifth.
Has those big rockers, right? Don't they have the big ass rockers or something like that?
What, in Charlotte?
Yeah, the Charlotte Airport. There's like a bunch of stuff in there. I thought it had some oversized.
Oversized what?
I went through the my way to Norfolk, and that was it.
Because that airport, put it to you this way, it is kind of an Atlanta for the coast. Whereas Atlanta is more inland, you know what I mean? The Charlotte is kind of taking a lot of the eastern seaboard, whereas, you know, Atlanta kind of has that Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee kind of region and everything, and it pulls from Illinois and Ohio and Indiana and all that jazz. And the funny thing is about Charlotte, there are two ways to get to Charlotte. There's more than two ways, but the two main ways to get to Charlotte from the coast here in Jacksonville, one is 7476, where you go down to Wilmington, catch 7476, and you just ride that thing all the way straight into Charlotte. That one is X amount of miles, X amount of time. But if you drive from Jacksonville north to Greensboro and pick up 40 or pick up 85 and drive south to Charlotte, it is actually between a half hour and an hour faster, but I want to say it's like 40 miles longer. It's crazy. So, but as that is, you know, if they were to put that Disney spot right there in that space between, say, Durham, because Durham is further west than Raleigh is, of course, if they were to put it in that gap between Greensboro and Durham, I mean, you'd get that 95 traffic coming down to Wilson, because Wilson's probably 15, 20 minutes out of Raleigh. And then you'd have the Charlotte traffic and all that kind of jazz. But, you know, I would say that the 95 corridor would be better, because you're pulling 95 runs all the way to the Canadian border in Maine, if I'm not mistaken, and ends in Miami, I think. So, but, yeah, I mean, could you imagine them doing something like that? I mean, wow, just the thought of it alone. What would it do to Florida economically?
Well,
I mean, do you think?
Yeah, the hospitality services would get their ass kicked if they're, and, of course, the airlines, vehicle rental, right off the bat. Number of food establishments in the general area would take a. It's not something to pick up. Now, dumb question, where's Carowinds at? I know it's there in the state somewhere. I got no freaking idea where.
Oh, gosh. That would have to be. All right, boys and girls, what do we do when we don't know the answer to something? That's right, boys and girls. We Google that shit. We Google that shit.
Charlotte.
Here? It is. Okay, Charlotte. Very good. You Googled that shit faster than I did. Well done.
Well, here's a thought. What if Google ever went away? How would you Google what happened to Google?
We'd have to wait for the the Encyclopedia Britannica guy to come beat on the door. So that way
Who's
we
Bing?
Can flip through the encyclopedia. Man, kids nowadays will never know the pain, the agony of set of encyclopedias. God damn almighty. There's so much agony that comes with an encyclopedia. Because not only is it an unlimited, well, we thought it was unlimited, source of knowledge. So whenever you walked up to your dad and asked something, he would just point at the encyclopedias. But if you screwed up, he would make you take the S volume of encyclopedias and hold it out straight until your ass bled from the pain. And, yeah, that S volume, man, everything starts with an S. So that was the heaviest volume. And you would have to hold that sucker out in front of you. Couldn't drop it.
Including the word sucker right there.
Yeah. And shit, which would, you know, be leaking out of you eventually from the pain. And the word sorry, which actually means nothing when you're being put to the grind.
Well, except that you're sorry that you did that to begin with.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so the reason I brought up Carol Wentz for the damn Google tension, I brought tensions back with me.
I've heard. Good job.
I'm checking the boxes. All right, so I'm not sure Carol Wentz is a year-round type thing, but the weather, that part of the country in the winter, they should be able to do at least limited stuff. It's not clearly it can get chilly enough. But it's not going to be like Cincinnati, Ohio, where they got to shut down Kings Island for many months of every year.
Yeah,
it'd be
you
more
bring
limited
up a
scope
very,
if they did that.
Very good point right there, man. That is, yeah, well done, Todd, because that right there, that was one of the reasons why my brother, because, you know, it used to never snow in Greensboro. And when Al Gore started talking about global warming, all of a sudden it started snowing in Greensboro all the time. And now snow in Greensboro, it'll snow asshole deep on a giraffe out there every winter. Now, it ain't Chicago snow, it ain't Indianapolis snow or Minneapolis snow, but it's still, for here in North Carolina, goddamn snow. So, to put,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing that Disney in Florida, I'm sure that doesn't even come up in the safety videos. When was the last time it snowed in Florida, for shit's sake?
Ain't it?
I mean,
I don't know. I think Anita Bryant was actually campaigning for oranges back then.
Oh. But my brother said when the hurricanes come through, he said Disney is so dialed in on their stuff that even the hurricanes, when they come through, they have such a regimented, secure, I don't know how to, you know, battening down the hatches, if you will, for these hurricanes
process.
That even that process, thank you. Man, it's good to have Todd back because he can help me out with the thesaurus shit. I got 3 published novels and I can't come up with more than 4 words every damn day, but actually it's not a thesaurus, it's a thesaurus. A thesaurus was a dinosaur. Just to let y'all know.
Yes. It, thesaurus, Theo, Chad.
The thesaurus. He was a meat eater. He wasn't an herbivore.
Actually, he was a sea thesaurus, but he had a lisp.
Oh, that was nice. Well done. A little Mike Tyson action there. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't even think about that there, Todd. That was a good call. Is that you ain't even really got to worry about inclement weather. When I say inclement, they, you know, it rains in Florida, but you only got the hurricanes, but they're hit and miss. But snow would definitely be an issue. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's amusement parks of some type in places that it snows and they're still able to operate. I mean, hell, what's the one in Richmond? Kings Dominion. They don't shut down in the winter, do they?
Oh, I bet they do.
Oh, do they?
I bet they have. Now, keep in mind, they won't have to do, I got to assume it's at least November, November to probably through April that a lot of the northern ones shut down. I'm thinking further north. They probably try to keep going through Halloween, maybe a little bit into the beginning of November. But they won't
right.
have to have that gap. I mean, that's a chunk of time because they want to be open and taking advantage of things come Memorial Day, all that. So assume May they're open. But that's – you're talking half a year or so. Maybe what? December, January, February in
yeah,
North Carolina?
You know, I've been trying to schedule. It's kind of funny with my brother living in Orlando. You figure I'd be down there every other week hanging out with him, going to Disney. The problem is that I have is that when I have the time, I don't have the money. But when I have the money, I don't have the time. I can never get them both to hit at the same time. But he always told me, because I always say the same thing.
That doesn't make sense because everybody knows that time is money.
That's right. It's one and the same, damn it. But I want to go when there ain't no people there because y'all know I am antisocial and I don't like people in my personal space, and that's just me. I don't give a shit. I could be me whenever I want to be. But he told me that the deadest times of the year are the first 2 weeks of December and all of February. So, to that point, perhaps waiting until December and making December the last hoorah, if you will, and then locking it up in January and February. I wonder how much of a damn – God, that would probably be too much of a burden on them, though, I would think. Because they're – right now, the only reason why Disney is still up and running – is because of the parks. The parks are hyper profitable. Now,
well, they're
the entertainment
hyper
side,
expensive.
But their entertainment side, they keep putting out shit films that are losing money and yak. So where the money's coming from right now, Disney, is the parks.
Yeah,
so,
but they're to the point that they're pricing out some of the old school customer base. Which,
that is true.
Me being me, kind of like you, not necessarily liking crowds, to me, that's kind of got its own advantages.
Well,
I mean, it means less people that are able to go.
They you know, when you see the videos of people getting all Karen at Disney, or you've even seen here recently where these mobs of people are getting into fistfights with one another in Disney. It is that type of customer that Disney doesn't want because Disney prides itself on being a happy place. As a matter of fact, you know, and Todd, you went through the whole indoctrination with the Waltons crowd like I did working at Sam's Club for those years, how – you remember the 10-foot rule, you know, those little things right there. Disney has the same thing. You can't say certain things. You have to smile. You can't, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's all based around happiness. So, in other words, if your wife left you that morning, you can't come to work, cry about it. You have to be on top of the world even though your wife just left with your three kids and your two dogs and your golf clubs, you have to still act like the world's the best place going. And so when they have, and I'm not going to use the term riffraff because a lot of times it might not be riffraff that's starting the problems, but when these Karens get in there and these groups of people are engaging in physical altercations, that is totally against the Disney theme. Everybody is supposed to have no tears in Disney. Everything is happy. And how do you keep miserable people from, and don't get me wrong, miserable, there are miserable people with money. I'm not trying to say it, but price them out of it. If you continue to raise the prices, you get to a point where only a certain financially fit type of person can go to the place. And let's face it, when you're broke, it brings a lot of misery. So when you got money, you could check it off the list. You know, what did Forrest Gump say? You know, Lieutenant Dan said we ain't got to worry about money no more, and that's a good thing. Well, that's a thing to worry about. You know, if you make it to where that type of person can't afford to come to the park, it improves
that's part
your...
of the pricing. Just is.
Yeah, it's got to be. Got to be. So, and you know, another thing, and Tim, I'm going to throw some of you on this one, see how you feel about it. You know, if you watch some of these videos, and YouTube's kind of funny about it because Disney's got a lot of stroke with YouTube because if you get on there, a lot of these influencers get free perks from Disney, and Disney will give them stuff, discount rates, free tickets, behind-the-scenes stuff and all that, but Disney has to see your content. In other words, Disney says, we'll allow you to come in here for free and cover our park. Can't say this, and you can't say that. Everything has to be sunshine. You know, almost a propaganda type thing. But there are guys out there putting videos out there of rides that are always broken down, parts of the park that just look abandoned and trashed, bad landscaping, run down kind of stuff. So could a refresh perhaps? You got to fit, you know, you got to think. And like I said, Tim, I'm going to throw this at you just to see what your thoughts are on it. You figure they started building Disney in the 50s, and now here we are in the 2020s, so we're looking at 70 years worth of wear and tear on this damn thing. You know, could a refresh, brand new stuff in another state, you build it now, and it won't be in current condition until the year 2100? Hey, you got to think about those things. So, what do you think about that?
So, the question is, would it be the same or are, I don't know if I may have missed the purpose of the question. You're saying if Disney goes and builds something completely brand new right now, and it'll last you,
yeah, I mean,
you got to consider
the redo. Yeah, would the redo do them a benefit? Not only condition-wise, but let's say there are certain parks or certain parts of the park where the ride just didn't live up to expectations. Like, take, for instance, Galaxy's Edge. A lot of people bitch about Galaxy's Edge, where it just didn't fit the bill when it comes down to what it was advertised as before they built it. And granted, they've got its elbows and assholes in that thing. There's a lot of people that go to Galaxy's Edge, but there's also a lot of people that go, you know what? It ain't what I thought it was going to be. So you take those suggestions and you take those gripes and you go to the think tank and you sit down and say, okay, people piss and moan about this, 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 so let's fix this. They like this, this, and this, let's keep that. But they don't like this, this, and this, let's get rid of it. And they bitch about this, this, and this, let's fix that and add it. Could that?
Well, the boring answer is they're going to keep doing what they're doing until the numbers don't, they're not profiting as much and their profit margins start going down, and then they might react to it. But honestly, if you want my thoughts, is I can see them doing that. I feel like they've definitely hit economies of scale. So, you know, why not have an opportunity to make even more money? I mean, good God, what are they charging people now to get down there? I mean, I'd love to take my family to Disney, but there's no way I'm going to afford it right now. But, you know, if they could build something now that would be a little state-of-the-art, I think they wouldn't shut anything. And you were probably thinking also, like, running in parallel, maybe, I don't know. But I feel like also something else to put into perspective is you have a generation now that, say, I don't know, it probably spans several generations, to be quite honest, but they have childhood memories of going to Disney World, and I suppose if you're a weirdo on the West Coast, Disneyland. But so, you know, those are childhood memories, you know, so there's a certain there's an intangible aspect to it, you know, as far as the value that you get out of going, regardless if rides are broken down. I mean, to a point, yeah, you're going to get kind of pissy about it, but I think your tolerance level, because you're just, you want to go back and you want to take your kids so that they can experience exactly what you did. So eventually,
yeah,
could it be so crappy that, right, but, it, you know, could it get to the point to where it's so crappy that eventually those generations are done, and then you're kind of just left with the decision, okay, our numbers are down, what do? Do we try to fix everything, or do we just, you know, okay, here, we plan for this by building, you know, this other Disney galaxy over here and whatever. I don't know. I don't think they're ever going to shut
right.
it down. I think that I could see them expanding, and I could see them renovating. You know, but what you kind of, once you hit my name, and I was kind of waiting to see what the puzzling question here would be. I was keying in on the parts where they video things, and I'm thinking to myself right away, it's like, you know what? I don't trust crap that I see. I don't care who thinks they're unturning a rock or doing whatever or what kind of video you got. Nowadays, you can modify so much crap, and perhaps there's it's authentic. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I could go, hell, you can go to the Indianapolis Zoo. And it's a pretty well-kept area, I think. But there's literally a couple paths that go have nothing to do with the zoo, but they go back behind it. I'm sure you could climb a wall and take a really gross picture of something. Be like, look at the zoo, you know. Everything,
right.
Everything has an ass, you know. Every living animal has an ass.
How,
so,
how did that go?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. Yeah, I got a
George,
little quirky.
You mentioned that, though, because in D.C., now, granted, I haven't been there in a while, so, I mean, I might be full of shit on this one, but the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., they have something called the Metro, which is an underground, overground, around ground train system that is genius, because you get on the Metro in the suburbs, north, south, east, and west. And depending on the color, it will take you to certain parts of D.C. If you want to go to the Smithsonian, you get on the blue. And I don't know if that's the exact same, but I mean, it's hypothetical. But if you want to go to the Smithsonian, as a matter of fact, the Smithsonian line, now granted, it just doesn't go to the Smithsonian. It goes to other places. But the Smithsonian line, when you get off, and there's escalators right there, and you go up that escalator, ba-bang. When you get off the escalator, you look to the left, American history is to the left, natural history is to the right. I mean, it's right freaking there. But with the National Zoo, it's probably a half a mile hump and the longest goddamn escalator I have ever freaking been on in my life. This thing, like, goes to the clouds. I mean, it's an incredibly long escalator you get on,
And again, they might have changed it, so people listening in D.C. are going, man, he's full of shit. That's a possibility, because I haven't been there in a couple of years. But that walk, that half-mile walk between where that escalator dumps you out in daylight and to the zoo gates, you better run. I mean, there's cars getting put on blocks. There's people getting shot, people getting mugged. And they don't tell you that stuff. And they tell you, you know, travel in packs. You know, when you're, you know, the tourists get off the train or get off the metro and they're like, hey, you know, we're all heading to the National Zoo. Okay, well, y'all herd up together and walk together. Don't just you and your wife walk or you walk alone. People get in big groups and kind of migrate. But in the meantime, my daughter and my son-in-law, my four grandchildren live up there, and they're living fine. They're enjoying it. So, I mean, they haven't been knocked over the head. So, you know, you can't never tell, you know, like you said, through the videos. Now, here's another can of worms you could throw out there. What if they built one in North Carolina and just left the one in Florida open? I mean, you got to think, with the cruise industry and the spring break industry, if you want to call it an industry, all that stuff going on in Florida, because let's face it, tourism in Florida is huge, right? How much damage would it do over an extended amount of time for them just to build another park? And Todd, you remember when, you know how we had the Walmart on 17 that's right there by the club, and they were building the Yop one, and everybody kept saying, man, they build that one on Yop. 17 is going to, man, fold up, man. They ain't going to do no business. And I would tell them, Walmarts are kind of like when you go to a wedding and they have the champagne glasses built in a tower, and the guy pours champagne in the top glass, and it keeps pouring, and it fills up every damn champagne glass and never spills a drop because they keep just overflowing into the next layer. Walmarts are like that. That's why Walmart keeps putting so many of these buildings up. Now, of course, they're backing out of places like Portland and Minneapolis and Chicago and all that for obvious reasons. But take, for instance, here in Jacksonville. Yeah. They're not doing any less business when another Walmart goes up 10 miles, 15 miles down the road. They're not doing less.
They are no doubt doing less, but raw numbers, right? Because they were the only game Walmart-wise there. But between the two of them, here's the next question. How much more the two combined making than one was singly, in a singular sense, and because Lord knows there's food lions that lost a shit ton of foot traffic because of that.
Right. Yeah, now food lions.
So it's, yeah, so they, so they're, yeah, what they got hit with helped them workload wise, frankly.
Right. Make it more manageable. But as for, you know, a dollar loss, you know,
they're kicking ass.
Exactly. And, you know, and think about it, like we spoke on King's Dominion. You spoke on Carolyn's earlier. King's Dominion, I may be wrong. They're in Richmond, and if I'm wrong here, I apologize in advance. But I've heard the place is a dump. I've never been there. Heard the place is a shithole, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse over the years. And that's why I'm not a big ride guy to start with. I'm not real big on throwing up. So I'm not going to get on roller coasters and that kind of stuff. It's just right up there with skydiving to me. The last thing I need to do is have my liver. Yeah, I don't do that stuff, man. I don't need my pancreas, you know, relocated behind my goddamn lungs or something, you know.
Mind you, there's some rights I won't bother with because there's some. I go back to the old Bill Cosby talking about the playground and the old merry-go-round about, you know, I want something that you spin around on for 5 minutes and then throw up. Some of those rides are absolutely that.
Yeah.
Don't have any desire for some of those. But, you know, they designed roller coasters to, it's such a frickin' art that you're not getting pummeled like a 50s design and stuff. You can be, they're incredibly smooth. And I don't know, and I honestly spend half the time on one of those damn rides trying to figure out the, you know, you're sitting there doing it, damn, how many G's was that? Whatever. you know, that kind of thing. But, two things, since you brought it up, that it was King's Dominion family. I'm assuming that's part of the King's Island family and all that. King's Island, now mind you, it was pretty damn new last time I was there, for an amusement park. That place was really something.
Oh, really?
I know some old amusement parks. Go ahead, Tim.
No, I was just saying that's where we used to go, summertime.
Oh, really?
Maybe not every, but there were a handful of summers that we made the trip to Kings Island, would spend the night. Oh, yeah, and it always gave me anxiety. I was the nerd that was terrified of roller coasters, so I'd be the kid sitting there with Mom on the bench while my brothers, my dad rode the coasters. I wouldn't do it. I eventually ended up doing it as I got a little older, but now I've kind of outgrown it. I feel like, nope, I did my time. Right now, it's more or less I just get banged up and it hurts. My knees, everything. If I go on like the Beast, it just bangs the hell out of me. I hurt. I feel like I got in a car accident when I leave that ride.
Apparently not in a good way. It bangs the hell out of you, but apparently not in a good way. All right. So this keeps
moving.
But I did, geography-wise, I figured since Carol wins, a winner in Charlotte isn't overly different than a winner in Raleigh. A wee bit, but not overly. Year round. Now, mind you, it looks like it works heavily to school schedules for Carowinds. Heavily. Like in November, they're open the week of Thanksgiving. That kind of stuff. This April, they were open the whole week after Easter. The Thursday before through the week, you know, Sunday after. But they're open at least Saturdays and Sundays and some of the so-called off-season, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They got this looks like they're on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday schedule already. So
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Now, I'm bouncing back to March. Second half of March. 23rd and 30th, they started opening up Thursdays in March. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it looks like during the winter times they had one Sunday a month off type thing in February. But they were Fridays, you know, Saturday, Sundays. But in February, January, they had some one Sunday a month off. So I'm trying to shoot forward. I'm on their monthly schedule, so I'm clicking a month at a time, mind you. September, they shut down hard. right, like towards the end of August, because schools are starting in that, they shut down hard.
Really? Yeah, well, it makes sense because everybody's getting back to school, and when it comes down to the money, it's all being spent on number two pencils and folders and shit, so...
Yep, so they're doing that in October and all that. You know, it's actually really last full week of August, or the last full week they got that shutdown date. Because, yeah, a lot of kids are back in school then. This is for the upcoming 23 calendar.
Yeah.
But
now
run through September, run through October, even November. They're closed November. They're closed for Thanksgiving Day, but the rest of that week, they're open.
Really?
Yeah, December.
And where is that at?
They're open around. They're open. Aside from Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, they're open. I mean, through including New Year's Eve.
I'll be damned. Huh?
In December, yeah. So.
And you said they're in Charlotte, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because Charlotte doesn't
be, but maybe 5 degree average temperature difference, high low.
Yeah. And now Charlotte, you know, I was mentioning Durham and Cary and all those outlying parts of Raleigh where it's really been kind of pumped up. Per capita-wise, dollar-wise, Charlotte's done the same thing. Charlotte kind of, in the 80s and 90s, became as a matter of fact, it's funny, when they put the Carolina Panthers up in Charlotte, there in Erickson Stadium, the joke, Todd, if you recall, I don't know if you were here in North Carolina when they...
I was in Japan when... Charlotte and Jacksonville became expansion teams.
Okay. Well, the big joke was it's neat that Carolina got a team, but you can't get to Erickson because it's something else now, but it was called Erickson Stadium then. It's right in the middle of a project. And, I mean, if you can make it to the game, you're bulletproof. And – you know, that was one of the things they were talking about is that, hey, you know, yeah, Charlotte's a great place to put one, but where you're putting the stadium, it's not a good spot. So, but Charlotte is actually, I'm not going to say it's cleaned up, but the more affluent, and I'm trying because I'm not trying to,
there are still holdouts, let's put it that way, in the greater Charlotte area. But there has been some general improvements. How's that?
Right. And I will say that the financially successful people, how's that? The more financially successful people, however in the hell they came by their money, they started moving out to the suburbs like Pineville and Rock City.
Gee,
Rock,
imagine. Wait. So are you saying the classic urban sprawl happened?
Exactly. And a lot of the money left Charlotte, per se. And Rock Hill. Why did I say Rock City? That's the Flintstones. Rock Hill. Thanks, Rob. Rob's out.
I thought it was Detroit when you said Rock City. Kiss reference.
Oh, yeah. A little Kiss action there. Charlotte would still be doable, especially if you went east of Charlotte between Monroe, Rockingham, and Charlotte, because that's right there.
Well, Charlotte, I know, is definitely doable.
Yeah. So,
wait,
I mean, that
we
is
talking
it.
Two different things?
All right. But, you know, talking about having another park there and what it would do to the Florida park, if you recall, and going back to the Carolina Panthers thing, that was one of the big – I don't want to say the big, but that was one of the discussions when it came down to Carolina getting a football team because they didn't want it pulling from the Falcons and the Skins and the Dolphins. and the Bucks. Nobody goes to the goddamn Bucks game until Brady played there. But it would pull, and I throw air quotes around that. And that's the thing sometimes about business that cracks me up, how they're always like, with expansion comes some heartache. And it's one of those things that if I'm making X amount of dollars a year, but if I'm willing to make Y for 10 years, I can make Z for the next 30 years, if you understand my meaning. So, you know, if you're able to, let's say you get $10 a week, you're a kid, you get $10 a week in allowance, and you're willing to step back to $8 a week just so you can go $15 a week in 2 years, would you do it? And, you know, still, as bad as the Skins suck, try to get tickets to their games. It's a pain in the ass. They're sold out all the time. Maybe not so much the Falcons games, but Dolphins and the Skins, I mean, they sell the tickets like mad. So having the Carolina Panthers hasn't really affected them at all.
Hey,
when it
question.
Comes down.
Do we think there's going to be a generational thing that's going to fuck them up? Because...
Oh, you mean
the
when
the Skins had their heyday after the Dolphins, and so a lot of those that remember the Dolphins' heyday, saw it, remember it, that kind of thing. I wonder how that generational thing that'll happen. I'm just curious. Put that in y'all's back pocket for future thought process.
Yeah, because, you know, baseball-wise, I've often said that once the baby boomers die off, the Dodgers and the Yankees are going to kind of – and granted, the Dodgers and the Yankees will always be way up there. But
Yankees, not all that long ago, they were having a hell of a run. Turn of the century. Pushing
the
turn of the century, never having their
runs. 60s, 70s, 80-year-old people are the ones that live and die by the Dodgers and the Yankees, and that's because that's what they came up on, you know, back when the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Yankees were in there duking it out. But like you said,
I'm going to tell you they're older than the 60s, but leave it alone.
Yeah. Up until Brady came along, you didn't profess being a damn Patriots fan. You get your ass beat. You know, back then, if you wanted to say, I'm a fan of something, you know, you were a 49ers fan because there was, you know, Montana. Hell, even the Colts. I'll throw the Colts under the bus on this one there, Tim. You know, when Johnny Unitas was playing for Baltimore for the longest time was the freaking New England of the NFL, if you will. It was always them and Green Bay duking it out. And, you know, time goes by, things change.
He didn't recognize Indianapolis Colts.
Now they're out there in Indianapolis where the Earth Days have them and run them into the ground, but that's a different topic. But... yeah, it'd be interesting.
Hey, they got them there.
Yeah.
Look, say what you will. Super Bowl era, the Browns don't have a championship.
Yeah. And the Browns have had two licks at it. You had the new Browns, and then you had the former Baltimore Colts Browns. Because if you recall,
that was the last time they had a shot at all. Yep.
Yeah. Because the Ravens are a brand new team, if I recall, right?
Yep.
Because they couldn't keep their own. Yet, you know, they left with the contents of the Browns. They just couldn't take the name.
Ah, correct.
Well,
there
and
you
that's
go.
Part of, I think, Baltimore renamed them so that Cleveland could do that or something to that effect. But I know that's one of the things they always, because, you know, they got to hold a grudge. So they always give Indianapolis a hard time, you know, basically saying, why did you have to take the Colts? Because we could have taken a different team, renamed them the Colts, just like Cleveland got to do. Because the Browns moved, but the name stayed back behind or whatever. So they were the Ravens, and then the Browns were able to be, I don't know. Todd, I guess, sounds like you know more about it than I do. But anyway, that's
imagine
one more reason
that.
Why Baltimore is just
I'm sorry, I didn't say that shit out loud, did I?
He's so full of shit. I love having Tom back. You have made my evening.
I honestly, when that happened, I bet the Browns actually learned from that whole debacle, to tell you the truth, in saying, well, maybe those dumbasses should have fought and tried to keep the name. The Browns probably learned from them not fighting to keep the name. But I guess, to tell you the truth, long-term, Indianapolis Colts sound a hell of a lot better than the Indianapolis Alpacas.
Ooh, that's a good point. That's a good point. How intimidating can an alpaca be on a helmet? I mean, it's kind of like a
pro name.
Are they particularly nasty versus, say, a northern alpaca? I mean, there's got to be some certain amount of threat that comes with an alpaca to make them. Of course, you guys know. Now, Tim, I don't know. I know Todd's been victim of it, where I've gone through the NFL and politically correctly hit all the teams, and there are certain categories where religious connotations, physical traits, predatory animals, and there's one other category. And how you can damn near eliminate every team in the NFL. Okay, so let me real quick, like, I'll just kind of throw an example out there. Take,
yeah,
for instance, the NFC.
17 minutes and change, you're saying.
Yeah, we're close. You got the Giants. And that, of course, could be deemed as a inappropriate term for somebody with Marfan's disease or somebody who has elephantitis or something of that effect. Then you got the Redskins. Of course, we ain't going to go there. The Cowboys, of course. Cowboys, though that might be misconstrued as an American thing, Cowboys, what we call thugs now, were Cowboys back in the 1880s. If you were an outlaw, you were known as a cowboy. It didn't have anything to do with wrangling down sheep and cattle because you were cattle ranchers back then. Cowboys were criminals. All right, so that's a predatory.
And consider this take on it. How many of you out there in the audio land that we live in remember playing cowboys and Indians when you were a kid? Wouldn't that be derogatory? Because cowboys were always against Indians, always made Indians the bad guys when you played cowboys and Indians. So there
that's
you
true.
Go. Another take.
That's true. You know, so all these things, and the Eagles, you're going, hey, Dave, what about the Eagles? The Eagles are predatory. Eagle damn pull you damn shih tzu off the damn dog park if they're hungry enough, right? So they're a predatory animal. You know, the Raiders, that's a violent culture. That was the other one, violent cultures. So, you know, you look at all these different. Now, the Colts are probably one of the safe ones.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's really nothing wrong with here. There's nothing wrong with a Colt. Somebody will throw at me the Broncos. Well, the Broncos get an answer.
You're wrong on the Colt because it's exclusive of Foles.
Oh, it's not gender sensitive. That, holy shit, Todd. God damn it, I need to write that down. That's a whole new category you just made. Holy fuck.
You're welcome.
That, man. Hot diggity damn. By Christ, I will eliminate any NFL team by the time I'm done. Gender insensitive team names. Hot damn. Thanks, Todd. I'm gonna write. I have bomb 2 weeks in a row. Wow. I'm sorry.
Are you talking about the Colt the animal, or are you talking about the offensive line? I just wanted to clear that up real quick.
Oh, well.
Wait a minute. Is there a difference?
I was getting ready to say. Ask Andrew Luck about
the offensive
line.
I think that's where Tim was going, so I figured he was doing the straight man thing. And
I mean, even like
there we go. That's another thing we can't even say for the joke routine anymore. We can't have a straight man. Oh, that's a double negative right there.
Correct. Straight and man. We have to have linear person. It can no longer be straight man. You have to be a linear person. Because you don't want to be straight and you don't want to be a man. But, yeah, the NFL, if you really break down all these teams, Ravens, believe it or not, predatory animal, Jags.
Semi-predatory.
The 49ers would be offense that are numerically challenged.
Okay, now
the
49ers.
Can offensive to those. Yep, they're offensive to people that are numerically challenged, and it could also be mistaken for someone who doesn't know what 69 means.
That's true.
Well, not only that, look, I think Dean Martin's family could go against that, bringing up gold diggers.
Yeah, good point.
There you go.
The Kardashians wouldn't like that. Yep. And, you know, the 49ers, what they don't tell you is that those gold miners were ruthless people. They murdered one another. Last thing you wanted to do was to come trotting into town during the gold rush with a bag full of gold because somebody found out where your claim was at, and they cut your ass and take your claim. So the 49ers were also a violent culture, like the Vikings, like the Raiders, like the Cowboys. Saints, you can't
well,
have them.
Honestly, I can counter-argue the Vikings because while they would do all the raids and that, and they would build a thing, they would absorb, they would build an established village and all that, a colony, if you will, and they would put their imprint in the area, and before you know it, they would absorb into the culture.
That's true.
So
they swung an axe, which means they are predatory, which means they are, quote-unquote, bad people. So you know what we need to do? God damn it, Todd. You know, I can't thank enough for coming back aboard this evening because not only do you add the wise-ass contingent, but by God, you stir thought, young man. We need to do a show where we just take professional sports, right? And just break
oh,
apart.
Oh, yeah, because
all
we can tear up more than football for sure.
Yes, because, you know, there's actually like only six teams in professional sports that don't end in an S.
Yeah, take the various Sox.
Yeah, the Sox, Red Sox, White Sox, the Wild in hockey, the Avalanche. I'm trying to remember the day, but anyhow. We need to go through and just have a criteria. Like I said, you know, violent cultures, religious connotations, predatory animals, physical, what's the word I'm looking for?
uniqueness, abnormalities, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, in other words, you couldn't have the, you know, the Nashville Midgets or something like that. Yeah, that, those kind
of
things.
Yeah, we can have the Giants, but we can't have the Turkish prison midget porn freaking team.
Correct. Right. So then we
see, I slid in the safe word.
Baseball,
which is
velvet, and hockey. Because if you look at college ball, for crying out loud, look at college ball. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of the demon deacons. Demons, oh, my God, not demons. Somebody
gets
bottled
up. And deacons. How bipolar is that? Oh, look. See, that's mental conditions right there that it's against.
That's true. Because you're going in two different directions with demon deacons, because like you said, you have demons, and then of course you have deacons. Damn, we need
not
to do a show on that.
Confused with Steely Dan, Deacon Blues. The what about the Fighting Irish?
Correct. That's another one. Why do all Irishmen got to fight? What are you trying to say? There's no peaceful Irishmen out there. There's no friendly Irishmen. They're all fighting. Come on now. I take offense to that.
Yes, yeah, so, I tell you what, I'll meet you outside to discuss it.
So, guys, we got 4 minutes. We have rocked it tonight. Way to kick some ass, man. I tell you what, hot diggity damn. But we do need to revisit this team name thing. We could have a lot of fun with this. We could really blow this one out of the water. So, Todd, if you could join us again, you let me know. We're going to hit this one hard. This is going to be a lot of fun. So, real quick, give each one of us a minute and a half, and then we will sign off because now we are running live, and we will bleed into another show, as y'all know. So that's the price of progress. So, Tim, how about some parting shots, young man?
I don't have much exciting, just the same old routine. I got to work on the pool. I got to try to get it clean by pool time. I got plenty of work going on, both at work and at home, trying to take care of the wife. She came down with COVID, nursing her back to health. She's doing much better than she was, so nothing terribly serious. She's kind of bummed for I know she's wanting to get back on her feet and moving around, so there's that. But other than that, just living the dream and taking care of things. So glad it's finally getting nice out. Looking forward to nice warm weather and hanging out on the porch a lot. And I'll kick it over. Go with you guys.
Outstanding. Great to have you aboard this evening, man. I appreciate you joining us. Great show tonight, dude. Todd, first off, thanks again for joining us this evening, man. It's great to have you back here, brother. Hit it.
All right. Look, bottom line is the family. Can't speak enough about the things Yuki has had to pick up the last month and a half and add to her freaking plate. Love you, girl. You are the absolute freaking best. Gary and Connor Casey, being my son, my daughter, and daughter-in-law, I couldn't ask for more. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another, take care of yourselves, take care of your family, take care of one another. Enough said.
Absolutely. And, man, I can't thank you enough for joining us this evening. I know you're a busy man, taking the time to come in and join us tonight, and I've definitely had a can in the air when you were speaking about your family, because knowing them personally, I tell you what, I would have to really stop and grind and think about something derogatory to say about your crowd and your entire family, Todd, and I ain't blowing smoke up your ass. Man, they are some of the best people that I know, and love them dearly. And your leadership means the world to them, and it shows. And they wouldn't be them without you, and you wouldn't be them without you wouldn't be you without them. And you guys, fantastic bunch. And much love to you guys. So, yeah, great to have you aboard this evening. Real quick for me, just a real fast thing. For the last 3 weeks here at Atwell Manor, we've been dealing with a clogged laundry drain, and I mean a super, super clogged laundry drain that connects to our kitchen sink. So we have not been able to drain. Whenever you run the kitchen sink, it bilges up in the laundry room. So we have been, any food scraps that go into the sink, which are going to happen, barf up in the laundry room, and it has been absolutely horrendous. The house has been stinking, smelling sour. It's just been a mess. And today, Bill and Ross, you understand what I'm talking about. Bill and Ross,
yep.
Two old friends of mine from when I've known these people for, hell, damn near 40 years. And Bill is a plumber, and Ross is his sidekick, and they came out here today and somehow or another worked a miracle and got that laundry drain fixed. And I had a spigot out back that was leaking and doubled our water bill last month because we were unaware of the amount of water that was being put out of leaky spigot. And they fixed both of them for under $400. And by God, I have never been so goddamn thrilled to do laundry in my life. I did 3 loads of laundry before the show. And I mean, I was actually cheering, fist pumping in the air when I heard that hollow ash drain. So Bill, Ross, I know y'all ain't listening, but damn it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm so tired of hauling buckets of dirty wash water back and forth and washing shit in the sink. Y'all are amazing. So with all that, I'm going to scoot into Atwell Manor through the semi-janky back door because I've been working on this back door here. And I am going to cue in that British lady, providing that Spectrum Internet still has me up and running. Oh, God. Oh. And let's see what we got here. Come on, laptop. There we go. All right. Looks like we're up and running. We got a minute left before we bleed into the next show. So, again, Todd, Tim, amazing show tonight. Well done, guys. Not like some spirited conversation. We need to tackle that team logo thing, and that show will just totally be off the rails. So maybe we'll do that next week. Todd, if you got the time, let me know.
We'll see. Hey, quick reminder, create an after call show because I think that's we had some stuff to catch up on from the green room over.
Right on. Yeah, hit me up because I've still got a cigar left, and I'm off tomorrow. So. With all that, we are going to move on. We hope everybody has a wonderful, safe week. Y'all be careful out there. Tomorrow's 420. Y'all behave yourselves. And we won't discuss that. But anyway, at any rate, you guys have a wonderful week. Be careful. And we will talk to you next week here at Pop Culture Stars. British lady.
Big hugs all.
Tim, we got time for you, British lady, if you want to cue it in real quick.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Hot damn, you've been practicing.
I like it.
That's good. That is pretty damn authentic, man. I think the British lady's going to be pissed, to be honest with you.
Tim does to Kim when she wants him to sound hot.
That is absolutely frightening.
That was all funny. Right, it kind of reminds me of the person that does that Dora, Mox Dora. Hola, soy Dora.
Ah, yes. Wiper, no wiping. You better wipe.
It is.
Cool.
Wiper, no wiping.
Don't remind me in the green room next week to sing in a MAP song I used to sing to Rob when he was a kid. It was the dad version of the MAP song. Anyhow, I'm going to get in trouble if I don't get off. Gentlemen, we'll talk to you in a little bit. We'll talk to you all in a week. Thanks for joining
later
us.
Later, all.
British lady. Got to do it on the quick, baby. Where's the British lady?